And it's just good to be in the house of the Lord today. But if you would stand with me, we're going to go to the book of Luke. We've been in Luke for several weeks. And what we're going to do is we're going to fast forward to Luke chapter 24. And we're going to read the first 12 verses of Luke chapter 24. And what I would like to do on this, we don't do this very often, but I would like for us, this is 12 verses, and I would like the passage is right up here on the screen, and I would like for us to just all in unity today. You know, on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one place and all in one accord. There was unity. There was perfect unity in the room. And I would like in unity for us to read this passage. This is 12 verses. So let's all read this out loud together. Amen. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb taking spices they had prepared. Today, and this is going to seem like a strange title, but I want to preach on this theme: watching, waiting, weeping, and worshiping. Watching, waiting, weeping, and worshiping. And let's, in fact, as far as worship, let's do that right now. God, we're so thankful to be in this place today, Lord. Let your presence be with us today, God. Oh, touch us, Lord. Oh, let your word touch us today, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You can be seated today. And we're going to go through these verses here. I'm not going to probably preach for all that long, but we're going to go through these verses. But before we do, I want to read some other, just another couple of other verses. And I want to show you some other things that happened. And if you will look in Luke chapter 23, verses 44 and 45, it says, "It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." So that is 3 hours of darkness. And it says, "While the sun's light failed." And if you do not know what the sixth hour is, I'll tell you what that is. That's noon o'clock. That's noon. That's the hour when the sun would be at its very apex. And when Jesus Christ was hanging upon the cross, the sun the sun didn't even shine. When he was hanging on the cross, the sun didn't even shine. And if you look in Matthew, at the moment that Jesus died on the cross, and we're talking about his resurrection, not just his death today, but at the moment that he died on the cross, Matthew also records that there was an earthquake as well. So those people stood there, the people that had mocked him, the people that had made fun of him, the people that had called down a covenantal curse upon themselves by saying, "Let his blood be upon us and let his blood be upon our children." Those people that had stood around the cross mocking him, amen, watched the sun go dark. The earth began to shake underneath them, amen. And if you look in Luke chapter 23, verses 47 and 48, there was a Roman centurion that was standing guard at the foot of the cross. And it says in verse 47, "Now when the centurion saw what had taken place," in other words, when that centurion saw the sun go dark, when that centurion felt the ground begin to shake beneath him, it says he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds, the ones that had been mocking him, the ones that had been spitting on him, it said all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts." That was a sign of remorse, a sign of repentance. You remember the story of the I believe it was a publican that went in to pray, and he would do nothing. He wouldn't even look up. He just smote his breast and said, "Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner." So the very crowds that just an hour or two earlier had been mocking and taunting and hurling insults, now were going home beating their chest. And I want to tell you something. I don't ever want to be on the wrong side of Calvary. Oh God, let me be on the merciful side of Calvary. I don't want to beat my chest in regret and remorse. Let me be on the right side of Calvary. But I also want to tell you before we get into this text, Jesus did not go anywhere that he was not willing to go. The Jews could say, yes, we crucified him. We took him up to the top of that mountain and we crucified him. But Jesus told them all the way back the first year of his ministry. In John chapter 2, verses 19, speaking of his body, the temple of his body, he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. And then also in John, he had told them that about the good shepherd and how that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then he told them in John chapter 10, verse 18, right after talking about the good shepherd, he said, no one takes it from me. Speaking of his life, he says, I lay my life down for the sheep, and I lay my life down and no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, and I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. So I'm telling you this much. What put Jesus on the cross? Your sins and my sins. You hear it? Your sins and my sins is what put him on the cross. He wasn't taken hostage. They didn't have to handcuff him. He said, I've got power. He even told them at one place, he said, I could call a legion of angels down right now if I wanted to. He went to Calvary of his own accord for the sins of mankind, for our sins. And I'm so thankful for that. Are you thankful for Calvary today? Are you thankful for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But Luke 24 and 1 says that on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb taking spices they had prepared. Let me explain what had happened. Jesus had been buried very hastily, very quickly, because they couldn't violate the Sabbath. And so he died on a Friday afternoon. And the Passover was going to start, or excuse me, the Sabbath was going to start at sundown. When the sun went down on Friday night, that was the beginning of the Sabbath. And so they normally would anoint his body with all kinds of precious herbs and spices and stuff, and they did not have time to do that. He was buried very, very hastily. And but then at the first day of the week, it says that they, and we're going to find out who they are in a minute, they went down to the tomb taking spices they had prepared. And then in verse 2 it says that when they got down there, and I'll tell you who this was. Or let me ask you, was it Peter and James and John? Was it that inner circle of apostles? Was it those thundering preachers that could just heal the sick and cast out devils? They were scattered. I'll tell you who it was. It was Mary Magdalene. It was Mary, the mother of James. It was another woman by the name of Joanna and some other ladies. If I can say it this way, there wasn't a man that had the guts to go. But there was some women that went to there. And when they got there, they found that stone rolled away. And it was not what they expected. They were not going there expecting that to happen. They weren't going there for a resurrection that morning. They were going there just to pay their respects. But they got there and the stone was rolled away. And it says that while, verse 4 and 5, it says, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said, why do you seek the living among the dead? I want to mention something to you that's going to become important in the back part of this message. Mary Magdalene went down there with them, but when those angels spoke that, Mary Magdalene was not there. Mary Magdalene was not there. When Mary, if you read the account in John, amen. If you read the account in John, in fact, go to John, if you will, Bill, go to John chapter 20 in verses 1 and 2. When Mary got there, she thought that grave robbers had came and taken the body of Jesus. And so she immediately turned around and ran to go tell Peter and John. In fact, let's read that. It says, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early. John's account does not record the other ladies, but this is the same account. And while it was still dark, they came just as the sun was coming up and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. It says, so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that would have been John, and said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they laid him. And so Mary Magdalene was not there to hear the testimony of those angels. She did not hear it. She did not know it. But she, as far as she was in her mind, it was just his body had been stolen. And so here comes Peter. Imagine this in your mind. Here comes Peter and John, and behind them is Mary, and they're coming back to the tomb. And in the meantime, while all of that's going on, these angels have appeared to Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other ladies, and told them that the Lord is risen, go tell his disciples. And so they have left the scene. And here comes, and if you read the account, it says that they were actually running. And in fact, if you look at John 20, verses 3 through 8, it says, so Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb, both of them, and they were not walking. They were running together. And I don't know why this strikes me as a little bit comical. Peter, they say in history, was kind of big, kind of burly. John, not quite so, a little thinner. And who outran who? John smoked Peter bad. And it says the other disciple, that's John, the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. John just couldn't go in, didn't. I don't know if he felt hesitation or what. It says, then Simon Peter came following him. And Simon Peter, having a little bit more nerve, went into the tomb. And he saw the linen clothes lying there and the face cloth that had been. Remember how Lazarus came out of the tomb bound by grave clothes. When Jesus came out of that tomb, there wasn't anything binding him. Let me tell you something. He had all power. He had all authority. He had told Mary that I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believes on me, he shall not die. And he walked out of that tomb, not bound with grave clothes. And Peter looked there and saw that. And it says that they, in verse 8, it says, then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in and he saw and believed. But the interesting thing about this, and I don't mean to be banging, I'm going to probably have men, all the men are going to be coming up to me and say, man, you beat us men up pretty good today, Brother Wiggins, but I'm very sorry, and this is just the way the text is falling today. I'll try to be something else another day. But it's amazing to me that Peter and John go to the tomb and they see those grave clothes there. They don't see the angels, but they see those grave clothes there. And it says that they believed. So if you went to your risen Lord's tomb and he was not there and he had told you, I will rise again, what would you do? Well, let's see what they did. John chapter 20, verses 8, 9, and 10. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then what happened? The disciples, disciples went back to the house. It was time for breakfast. I'm serious. It was time for breakfast. This was early in the morning. It was time for breakfast. But to me, this is the part of the story that becomes beautiful to me. And I don't know why this is so beautiful, and I don't know why I feel emotional about this. But you've heard the story I've preached before about Mary Magdalene, out of whom the Bible says that he cast seven devils. This was a woman that once she got delivered by Jesus, in her mind, There was no other place to go. There was no other place to be. It was just, I want to be with Jesus. And it says, in verse 11, it says that Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. They left and went home, but Mary stayed. Mary Magdalene stayed right there at that tomb. And she stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she stepped and as she wept, she stooped to look in the tomb. I want to show you something about Mary Magdalene. In John 19, who was lingering at the cross? Was it Peter? No, he had denied him three times. Was it James? No. No. John ran away. John finally came back. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, was standing there watching her son die on a cross, and standing there right there with her was Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene, it says in John 19:25, but standing by the cross of Jesus with his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. She stood right there. She lingered. Mary lingered at the cross. Then, I had never seen this before. I had never noticed this before. Remember how Joseph of Arimathea, the wealthy man, he went to him and said, hey, can I have the body of Jesus? I want to bury him. I'm going to bury him in my own grave. Can I have the body of Jesus? And they gave Joseph of Arimathea the body of Jesus. And there were, remember Nicodemus, the guy that came to Jesus by night? Nicodemus helped Joseph of Arimathea. And it says that then if you, the two of them, and we'll read here in Matthew's account, Matthew 27, 59, 60, and 61, it says, Joseph, this is again Joseph of Arimathea, took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. And verse 61 is so touching to me. This would have been Friday, right before the beginning of the Sabbath. Mary Magdalene had watched her Lord die on the cross. In verse 61, everybody was gone. Joseph of Arimathea was gone. Nicodemus was gone. All of the disciples were scattered, but it says in verse 61, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. Mary Magdalene sat there and watched Joseph of Arimathea put her Lord in the tomb. And then the next day was the Sabbath. You couldn't really go anywhere, do anything. And so you couldn't really do anything. And the Sabbath ended at sundown on Saturday. Okay, it started on sundown on Friday night and went to sundown on Saturday. But then it's dark. And how do you do anything in the dark? And so if you look, while it wasn't even light yet, Mary Magdalene rounded up some other ladies and they said, let's go back to the tomb. And here's Mary Magdalene again. She lingered at the cross. Then she lingered at the tomb while they were burying him. And now, at the very first possible moment to be back at that tomb, Mary Magdalene is there. She was watching. She was waiting. She was weeping. But I want to tell you, it's got a happy ending, because in the end, she was worshiping. She was worshiping. But if you look, that Mary Magdalene was the first to return to the tomb with the other ladies. And then she lingered still. Remember, she goes and she gets Peter and John. And then Peter and John, I'll read the verse again, John 20, verses 10 and 11. Then the disciples, that would be Peter and John, went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, watching, waiting, and weeping. And it says that she wept and stooped to look in the tomb. She wasn't going anywhere. As far as she was concerned, all of her identity and who she was tied up in Jesus. The old Mary Magdalene had been put away. She was a disciple of Jesus Christ, amen. She was following her Lord. And if it meant hanging outside his tomb, then so be it. And you know what? Church, I want that kind of an attitude in my heart. I want to follow Jesus with that kind of a fervor, that if Peter wants to go away, if John wants to go home and have breakfast, I don't care. I'm going to stay with Jesus. And so Mary was the first witness of the resurrection. She went back to that tomb and she stood there and she was crying. And those angels appeared to her. And she was standing there looking at those angels, wondering where they've taken my Lord. And she hears a voice behind her, and she turns around, and there's Jesus standing there in all of his resurrected glory. And she, supposing him to be the gardener, she begged him, and she said, if you'll just tell me where you've laid him, I'll take care of him. But please tell me where Jesus is. Even if it's just his dead body, I've got to spend more time with him. And that's when Jesus couldn't hold it any longer. And he said one word, and her eyes, he said, by name, he goes, Mary, Mary. And when he said that, something opened up inside her, and she realized, oh my goodness, he's not dead. He's not, they haven't stolen his body. Amen. His body's not confiscated somewhere, but he's risen again. He's standing right here in front of me. And I don't know exactly how it worked out, but I think that she probably fell at his feet, because if you read the account, Jesus says, you don't need to cling to me, Mary. You don't need to cling, because she would not let go. She didn't ever want to lose him again. She didn't ever want to lose him again. Oh, let me have that. Let me have that desire that Mary Magdalene had, that she remembered what she came out of, and she didn't ever want to go back into that. And she wanted to cling as closely to Jesus. I'll linger with you at the cross. I'll linger with you at the tomb. I'll linger when they're burying you. I'll linger with you at the tomb as soon as I can get back after the Sabbath. I just want to be with you. And I'm bringing this in fairly quickly. I'm going to tell you what Jesus was to Mary, and this is what Jesus needs to be to you. Let me tell you something. Life, no matter who you are, listen to me, everybody. Life has storms. Life has mountaintop experiences, and life also has dark valleys that you've got to walk through. And yes, I've been there, and I've done that. But there was a king. There was a king in the Old Testament time that Israel was up and down. It was a scary time. And this king's name was Eliakim. And here is what God said about this king. In Isaiah 22 and 23, he said, I will fasten him like a peg in a secure place. You say, well, what do you mean about that? How come a king would be a peg or a nail in a sure place? Let me ask you, if you're going to have something on the wall that you're going to want to hang from, something that can support some weight, something that can support some burden, something that you can take your burdens off and put them on, you want that nail that's in that secure place, that sure place, that you can take your burdens off of your shoulders and you can put them on that nail in that secure place, and you don't have to bear all of those burdens. And that's what God said, I'm going to do with Eliakim for Israel. But you know what? Eliakim tried, but ultimately failed. But I'll tell you who didn't fail, and that was our Lord Jesus Christ. For Mary Magdalene, I'll tell you who Jesus was to Mary Magdalene. He was a peg in a secure place. He was a nail in a secure place that she said, I can cast my burdens on him. I'm going to be able to put them on that nail, and they're going to be safe. Let's all stand today. The whole basis and foundation of our faith rests upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you earlier in the service that me and Sister Wiggins had another song that we're working on. Maybe we'll sing it in a couple of weeks. And I want to give you the verse. This song was written, I don't know if it's 200 years ago or 250 years ago. But this song's been around for a long time. And just if you can just give me your minds for another minute. Just give me your minds for another minute. They're coming up to get ready to sing. But I want to read to you the first two verses of the song that me and Sister Wiggins. This song was written 200 years ago. over 200 years ago, as far as I know, upon a life I have not lived, and upon a death that I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. Not on tears which I have shed, not on sorrows that I have known, but on another's tears and on another's griefs. On these I rest, on these alone.
Hallelujah.
Church, he's the nail in the secure place today.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's
Thank
the nail
you,
in the secure place. Let's worship the Lord today. Oh God,
Lord,
I love you, Jesus.
Lord, we praise you. We worship
God,
you,
I praise
Jesus.
You.
We magnify your name.
God, I bless your name, Lord.
Glory to your
God,
name,
I bless
Jesus.
Your name.
We are so thankful, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're going to do this in closing. I need some right here. Sister Sarah has asked for prayer. And you know what? We're going to pray. And I asked her if she wanted me to anoint her. You know, we're in a pandemic. So I just give that. I give that whoever. You know, that's their choice, and we're going to pray, and let's all, you can just stay where you are. I know we're in a pandemic, but let's all pray, and listen, I believe that there's power that we can access through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that, you know, sometimes we go through storms that maybe we don't have to go through them if we could just depend and trust. And just let's just pray. Let's just pray that God will help us, God. Oh, in Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, Lord. Oh, Jesus, God, in Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I pray for Sarah today, God. Oh, God, let your hand be upon her, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I love you, Lord. Oh God, you're so
God.
Oh
God,
hallelujah.
Let the redeemed say so.
Hallelujah.
Let the redeemed say so, God. Let the blood prepared, oh
touch
God.
Her, Lord.
Let the blood
Jesus'
prepared,
name.
God. Touch the Lord.
God, in Jesus' name, Lord.
Head, soul.
God, in Jesus' name.
We come against
Jesus
everything, name, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lord, we pray Jesus for the breakthrough in the name of
Jesus.
Break
Hallelujah.
Every chain, oh God. Cast
Hallelujah.
Away every sickness, oh God.
Jesus,
you are able,
thank
Lord.
God.
You know that you
Lord.
For the glory and for your
thank
victory,
you
oh God. And we know by your stripes
you
is here right now in the name of
Jesus. God,
we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord today. Oh God, we're so thankful. Oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're going to be dismissed in just a moment, but is that power in the blood? Oh yes, let's sing that. Oh, there's power, power, wonder-working God in the blood. Of the Lamb, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Sing that again. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood. Oh, one more time. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, aren't you glad you came to church today? Oh, I just feel renewed in my heart, in my spirit. I feel renewed. I feel renewed.